but we are here to help you equip a teenagers through the power.
Whoa, what did I just do there?
Equip a teenagers? I'm totally leaving this in. I love it.
Yes, a teenagers. Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved, but we are here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. My name is Chris Roby, and across from me is Carly Duke.
Hello.
Hey, Carly. So this week on the podcast, we're going to talk about something, but before we talk about it, I want to say I feel personally attacked when it comes to this topic.
Oh, no.
So for our podcast listeners, we're going to talk about Movember, which is kind of, it's celebrated by the no shaving or growing a mustache, and I really can't. And I'm 43 years old, and and my dad's like the hairiest man in the world, and I didn't get any of those genes.
So you're not doing Movember is what you're telling
well,
me.
Well, it'd be like patchy Movember. It'd be like, please don't celebrate Movember, Chris.
Now, Chris, so share with everyone, this is not related, but I think our audience needs to know about what your family does in November.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if it's embarrassing or not anymore, but when my kids were little, I don't know where we saw the idea, but it was this idea circulating around Facebook or the internet about the dinosaurs coming to life, like your toy dinosaurs come to life and make mischief around your house.
So like Elf on a Shelf, but dinosaurs.
Yes. And there's some stuff around that. It did kind of kill Elf on the Shelf, which we're thankful for because we tried to do both and it was too much.
Work.
Yeah. But yeah, so even to this day, I've got kids that are even a little bit older and they still ask for it. And so every night after they go to bed, I mean, I can't say I have anything to do with it, but the dinosaurs come to life and make messes and do things. They TP'd our house a couple nights ago. And so the kids wake up and there's toilet paper everywhere. And
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So Dinovember is what the Roby family does because Movember is not an option.
Since Chris can't grow a mustache, we play with dinosaurs. Yes.
So Movember, I've also heard it used to be called, like when I was younger, I heard it called No Shave November.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But same thing. And so it's growing mustaches during the month of November to raise awareness for men's health. So that's mental health, suicide prevention, especially prostate cancer and testicular cancer. There's actually an organization, I did not know this, Chris, until I looked into it, called Movember.
I didn't know that either.
I thought it was just like kind of this movement, but there's actually an org, and it started in 2003. And so you can go to their website. I'll link it in the show notes. But organization is all about men's health. And I thought this was interesting. I looked into it, Chris, but men's health is in crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel comfortable calling it a crisis because when I looked at it, men are dying at an average of 5 years earlier than women and for largely preventative reasons.
Yeah. And it's interesting. That's always been the big joke about, you know, women's life expectancy is that much longer than men's and all the reasons behind that. But yeah, it's a shame that the reasons that men die are just because we're not paying attention to the things that are important, especially when it comes to health. And there's a lot of reasons behind that we'll talk about throughout the podcast, but I think it's important to note that five-year gap.
Right. And the suicide rate of men is also quite staggering compared to women. So across the world, one man dies by suicide every minute of every day.
Wow.
And it said, I saw that with males, they account for 75% of all suicides.
That's sobering.
I know. That is, that like, when I saw that, I was really honestly surprised by that. And then in the U.S., if we're just looking at the United States, it's also high, and approximately 4 in 5 suicides are men.
Wow.
And so this is something that, obviously, when we're talking about men, but that impacts our teenage boys.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something we need to be talking about. And so I thought Movember was a perfect time to talk about this. So Chris, you kind of mentioned this, but why is there a men's health crisis?
Well, Carly, as a man,
you are. Continue.
Yes, I am. Yes. I'm going to speak for all of us. we stink at, being vulnerable, and not only just with mental health, but with physical health. I remember talking to an older man in my circles about going to the dentist, and he's like, and his teeth look fine, but he's like, it's like, I don't go to the dentist unless I have a toothache, you know, and it didn't seem like a macho thing, but it was just one of those things. It just didn't occur to him that he needs to go to the dentist to get checkups, and, you know, oral health is tied to so many other things in the body. But that's just a, that's just one example. But most men don't want to, if they have an ache or pain, or especially anything that's routine, like physicals, those kinds of things, they, for whatever reason, whether it's not wanting to admit weakness or just being flat out lazy, most men just don't do that. And then by the time there's a problem, it's too late.
Right.
And so something like Movember that brings attention to men's health in a way that men can, men outside of me, I guess, can participate in. it's a really cool thing, 'cause it allows us to do something together, and men learn when we do things together.
Right. I know from my experience with my husband, I'm not going to break any HIPAA laws here, but there'll be times where he'll come and talk about something and I'm like, oh goodness, well, let's watch it for a few days. He'll be like, yeah, it's been happening for a couple weeks. I'm like, you haven't said anything?
I feel seen.
I know. So not only does he not talk about it, but then when I'm like, okay, well, let's go see a doctor. And he's like, nah, I'm fine. So like not talking about it, not really acting on it. I think in general too, men, and probably especially our teenage boys, engage in more risky activities too that are harmful for health. And so whether it's even just how they exercise, sports that they play, there are more risky behaviors attached to men than there are to women.
And I think there's messages that are sent down from generation to generation about masculinity, about, and we've talked about that some on the podcast, about how masculinity can become toxic. And this is definitely one of those ways where you know, we're men, we don't need help. We do things on our own. We're supposed to be strong. So if the message is you're supposed to be strong, that's incongruent with getting sick.
Right.
Or admitting that my body could break down on me. And so that means I have to go and see a doctor annually. And so it isn't this subconscious way for a lot of men of keeping up this narrative that I am strong and maybe even invincible.
What I think when it comes to our teenage boys, I was just listening to a podcast this morning, and the two women on it were talking about that they've never seen their dads cry, ever. Mm-hmm. Not happy tears, not sad tears. I think one of them said maybe when a parent died is the first time they'd ever seen their dad cry. And if you think about from generational, if you're a teenage boy and you never see your dad cry or your grandpa cry, then that is, even if they're not saying that, is I can't show emotion. And that trickles down into if there's a mental health crisis or something that's going on, well, that makes me weak if I talk about that. It's hard enough. We've talked about mental health on this podcast. It's hard enough to get teenagers to talk about it. And then when it comes to our teenage boys, you're adding on some of the gender stereotypes that are unfair, honestly. Makes it even more difficult.
And it's obviously generational. And I would say my generation, you know, Gen Xers, it's getting better. We're talking about it more. But it's a tough hill to climb for a lot of people, a lot of men to be able to admit, you know, I'm not invincible. Some of it has to do with fear of dying and, you know, our own mortality that we don't want to face up to it, you know, that we're, you know, not going to be around forever. But the problem is that, you know, the men that I know who do take better care of themselves tend to be older and, you know, have gain that wisdom that I should probably take care of myself. But they're not the ones influence the story anymore. You know, it's guys my age and guys a little bit younger who are dads, who need to be more proactive when it comes to our own health and mental health.
Right. So when it comes to our teen boys, let's talk about some things that we can do to help this, to help celebrate Movember, even if you cannot grow a mustache like me and Chris.
That's right.
So one thing I think is normalize talking about health and feelings. Whether we talked about, I guess maybe even a couple episodes ago, about the father effect, So whether there that is a father figure or just a male role model, if it's not an actual biological dad, making sure that there is a male role model in the life of a teenage boy who's willing to have those discussions.
Right.
I think for my son growing, like as he gets older, I can have those conversations with him, but it's going to mean more if he sees his dad having those conversations.
Right.
If his dad is asking about his health and his mental health and can even appropriately share his own.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about, here's what I've been going through too.
Mm-hmm.
And model, I can talk about this so it's safe for you to talk about it as well. This month on the Teen Life blog, I don't know if it'll be up by the time this podcast comes out, but be watching for it. I actually wrote a blog post on validating feelings. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of talks through some of that of how can we validate feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that comes up, I'll link that as well.
I think also for men, we need to be normalizing getting help. Whether it's a physical illness, mental struggle, encourage teen boys to go to professional, to know how to get help. And I think it's as simple as, so this happened the other day. We're going to probably do a bathroom remodel in our house, and I'm just stubborn enough to not want to have to pay for it. And so, but I don't know how to lay tile. Like, that's just not something I've ever done. And I feel like this could go sideways real quick.
For your marriage.
Yeah, for my marriage and for everything. And so I decided to look up some YouTube tutorials. Mm. And my son walked into the room and said, "What are you doing, Dad?" Because I usually don't watch YouTube during the day or anything like that. And I was like, "Well, I'm trying to learn." So he like laid down on the floor next to me and we watched some YouTube tutorials on how to lay tile, you know, which seems really small, but I hope that sends a message to him that I'm trying to get help with something I don't understand. Right. And know how to do. So there's small ways you can do that where you can teach your child how to reach out for help in those small little ways. Even around the house when they can't do something, they start crying, like, "Hey, ask for help." Mm-hmm. You know, and so that's something that we can show them, but also to help. If you schedule your annual checkups and go to the dentist and get your eyes checked and all the physical things about being a normal functioning adult and make sure that they know what you're doing and why you're doing it.
Right. And then finally, I think have conversations and set boundaries, especially when it comes to risky behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So like I said, whether that's if a teenager, if you're talking about alcohol, if you're talking about drug use, if you're talking about even the way that they play sports.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that they're checking in on their own mental health and also make sure that they know how to set boundaries and that you're having those conversations. And we say this all the time, and I'm going to keep talking about it. This is just important for you to continue to build relationship with teen boys so that they know that you're a safe place to come to.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think helping to play out, especially with these risky behaviors, help them to talk about what could happen. You know, and the consequences of that risky behavior, because there's so many times where a teenager engages in a risky behavior and gets away with it. Mm-hmm. Right. Like they didn't break that leg. They didn't. But we have a great story to tell. But then say, OK, well, let's just say you jumping off the second story of the house didn't go so well. Tell me and have them talk that out. And because mm-hmm. when we talk that out, it's how we learn. That's how we build those mental pathways and create memory. Help them talk out in a non-guilty way. What if this didn't go so well? And maybe they would think twice before they did it again because they've actually talked that out and processed that with you of the consequences of those actions.
Hey friends, let's take a minute to just talk about three easy ways that you can support the Teen Life Podcast. So the first one is to listen and subscribe. And congrats, you've already done half of that because you're listening to me right now. So if you haven't subscribed to the Teen Life Podcast, go in your favorite app and subscribe right now so you never miss an episode. The second is to share it with friends. This is easy. If you hear a topic that you think they would love or you just know another adult who loves teenagers, send this on. Pass on the link, share it on social media. We love it when you invite your friends to be part of this with us. And then finally, review us in your favorite app. We obviously love the positive reviews, but we're here for anything. So take a minute to share, to review, and obviously subscribe so you never miss another conversation. For the trend this week, Chris, I want to talk about, this is so generic, you're going to roll your eyes, but I want to talk about fall.
I love fall.
Do you love like the pumpkin spice latte and the...
I'm a black coffee drinker. I'm more amused by all the color changes in clothing and obsession over spice drinks.
Mm-hmm. It is so fascinating to me, even from a social media perspective, when it comes to fall, my social media changes drastically because it suddenly is all about what Starbucks drinks are new. It's all about pumpkin patches. It's all about, hey, if you're in Texas, it dropped below 80, so I'm going to wear a sweater and high boots.
And yeah, I think in Texas, that's a big part of the conversation is like, we are finally out of the oppressive heat. You know, it's plagued us for 4 months. So,
which I'm sure in other parts of the country, they're like, that's short weather. Why are you wearing a full sweater?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it doesn't take much for the long sleeve shirts to come out around here.
Exactly. So I just want to talk about some trends that you might be seeing that your teenagers might be interested in. Maybe this gives you something to talk about with a teenager. So I mentioned it, but pumpkin spice is everything right now. So maybe that's asking a teen, hey, have you tried this new drink? Is there a drink at Dunkin' Donuts? Does a whole fall menu. I know Starbucks does. A lot of other restaurants, even if they don't do coffee, will do fall desserts, pumpkin. Maybe you find a pumpkin recipe that you want to try to make with your teen. So that's an easy way to connect with them. One of the big trends that I think is so fun that I see a lot of teenagers still doing is Friendsgiving.
Friendsgiving, yeah. Yeah. And was it really set, like, was it popularized by the show Friends? Because I feel like that every Thanksgiving episode was them getting together without their families. It was just their friends.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That might be.
Might be. I don't know.
That's a good thought, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's especially you'll see this with older teenagers, even college students who can't go home, you know, during the holidays, where they'll just celebrate together. And for some people, it sure beats sitting across the table from the politically opinionated uncle or aunt and just being with people who are your friend group to celebrate what you're thankful about.
Right. And I think if you're a parent, especially, hosting a Friendsgiving is a really easy, maybe a little sneaky way to meet all of your teenagers' friends.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's a few days before Thanksgiving. Maybe it's the weekend after. I know a lot of teenagers will get together, not on Thanksgiving, but close to it, and everyone will bring a dish, whether it's a dessert or a side. But if you told your teenager, hey, we'll host your Friendsgiving this year, bring your friends, we'll provide the turkey, or we'll provide, even if it's not turkey, maybe teenagers don't like turkey. I don't love it enough to have it multiple times.
You don't like turkey?
No, it's not my favorite, Carly. Chris. I know. That's a conversation for next week when we talk about Thanksgiving.
Okay.
But maybe it's, hey, I'll cook a lasagna, tell your friends to bring different sides and desserts, and we'll have a Friendsgiving here. And that's a really easy way to watch your teenager interact with their friends.
Mm-hmm.
Or just encourage them, hey, does someone else want to do it? And that is that a way to make new friends or deepen those relationships? Or if there's a new friend that just, maybe someone just moved, that's a really easy way to get them involved with a new friend group. And so Friendsgiving is something to be aware of and maybe something you could help plan.
And I think, too, scheduling that could be a challenge. I told you this earlier, but my family, we're doing a neighborhood Friendsgiving for breakfast one day. And so all of our families have really busy schedules. And so we're like, let's just do something before everyone gets going on a Saturday morning. And it was pretty easy to get people there. And it's something kind of unique and fun. And most people are going to have some form of Thanksgiving, like Big T Thanksgiving with their families. But it's fun to be able to do that and be grateful for our relationships with our friends.
For the tip this week, I want to maybe give a little preview. Next episode, we'll talk more in depth about Thanksgiving, but some people are already planning for Thanksgiving for the meal. So I wanted to give this a little before. But when it comes to Thanksgiving planning, my tip for this week is to have your teen help with the planning. That sounds small, but I think my biggest tip is think about what is your teen good at? What do they enjoy? So not every teenager is going to enjoy cooking. So maybe don't have them cook with you or plan the menu, but maybe they enjoy decorating something. Maybe they love games and you could have them, hey, come up with a game or an activity we can do at the table for our family. but have them have some ownership over this holiday so that they feel like they're part of it. And so they don't feel like, oh, roll my eyes, I've got to go to Thanksgiving with the family again. But they can say, hey, I get to choose at least a small part of this day, and it's going to be something I enjoy.
I like that a lot, because I think also it it takes a bit of a load off of you as a parent who has to plan everything, because I know that can be stressful.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the idea of creating ownership in a holiday that the older that kids get seems less relevant,
mm-hmm.
and seems more like a whip.
Yeah.
But it is really important to be able to stop, and that's the unique thing. That's why some people love Thanksgiving, because it's not overly commercialized. You know, I mean, it's kind of built around football games and stuff like that. But like, it's really sitting around a table and eating. We're not opening gifts. We're not going. You know, it's about family and gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be able to have our students be able to have ownership over that would be a really powerful thing. All right, that's a wrap on this one. Thank you so much for listening. A special thanks to Carly Duke and to Kelly Fan for producing this podcast. Also to Luke Cabrera for our awesome podcast music. If you want to know more about Luke and his music, check out his contact info in the description. Well, this podcast is for the helpers, and we really hope you feel helped. If there's something we haven't talked about or a topic that you're really interested in, email us at podcast@teenlife.ngo, and we will do our best to get to that topic. We'll see you next week.